Hope we're all doing well this morning. I am back yet again, filling in for Stuart. Him and Stephanie are taking the kids to college this weekend. They moved in yesterday. I think this is the closest together that two of my terms preaching have been since I did a revival at my home church a few years back. Don't usually go this close together. And as you know, I do things a little bit differently. I hit a lot of different stuff for a little short amount of time. I've never been one of those guys like Stuart. I have my guys like that who just, they have a passage and they go through it. And they don't, it's obnoxious because they never have to look at their notes and they just go for 30 minutes. It's really, really obnoxious. But I admire guys like that. I've tried to do that before. I wasn't good at it. And some of you are thinking, well, Jamie, you're not good at this either. Tough. Because you're here already and it's too late. You got to sit through it anyways. But whenever I prepare a sermon or even a lesson for youth group, I think of a topic or a passage that would be beneficial for just about everybody in some way. And then I'll pray about it and then hope that God gives me a better idea than the one I came up with by myself. And that happens sometimes, usually at 2 o'clock in the morning. I wake up in a cold sweat because, oh, I got to preach this Sunday and now God's giving me a better idea. But it's okay. It's okay. For today, I settled on the topic of wisdom. There are a lot of people out there right now that are looking for wisdom. A lot of people in here right now are probably looking for it. And if you're not, you probably should be. There are also a lot of people who are posting wisdom or wisdom on social media. That can either be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how wise you actually are versus how wise you think you are. If you're one of those people or if you'd like to be, I'd like to give you some good news because we got a lot of wisdom we can go through this morning. The Bible is full of real, timeless wisdom. And if you are so inclined to want to quote things and put them on your social media or write them or make those big, gigantic, really motivational posters that always have like a picture of an eagle flying or something like that, y'all know what I'm talking about. If you're so inclined, you can do those because the wisdom we're talking about this morning is very highly quotable. This is the real truth for everyone in here. There's only one source for real wisdom. It's not on social media. It's not in Hollywood or some musician or a political figure or a pundit. It's not found in some sports team or some doctor or a professor or anything like that. Real wisdom only comes from God's word right here. That's it. One of my favorite and probably the most popular places in the Bible to find wisdom is the book of Proverbs. So this is where we're going to be this morning. Like I said, I don't get up here very often. When I do, I like to pack a lot of stuff in a fairly short amount of time because I know if you're like me, your attention spans aren't the greatest anymore. So you'll kind of nod off or start thinking of what you're having for lunch, which you shouldn't be doing because you're getting out earlier today than usually anyways. So we're going to go on a little cruise through the book of Proverbs, not at all inspired by the new Disney movie Jungle Cruise. It will not probably be that exciting, but it will be more impactful, I promise. And we're going to find some really awesome nuggets of wisdom that can make a difference in the way we live our lives and the way we interact with others. And these should be on the screen, but I'm not going to read them off the screen because I can't read those words very well. Proverbs 1:7 is our first stop in our tour. And it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline." So our first stop here is really, really early in the book, and this is a really, really popular one. I think most people here have probably heard that. It also sets the tone really nicely for the entire book of Proverbs and for what we're going to be talking about this morning. The fear or the respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, it's important to understand up front that wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. We sometimes equate them to be the same, but they're not. They're closely tied together, but they are two different words with two different meanings. Knowledge is a more basic understanding of the world and our place in it as God's creation. Wisdom comes in the growth and application of that knowledge. And as I was studying for this, there was one thing I saw written in a commentary that summed it up really, really well. And I really liked it. What they said was, "Wisdom is the acquired skill of godly living and applying the knowledge we gain from God. I'll read that one more time because this guy that wrote that was way, way smarter than me. Wisdom is the acquired skill of godly living and applying the knowledge we gain from God. I just thought that was a really, really cool and really, really clean way of looking at it. The good thing for us is that if wisdom is an acquired skill, that's really good news for us because there are some people, including myself sometimes, that have not yet acquired that skill, but it's not too late. You just have to learn it from the right place. The implication of the first half of this proverb is that real, godly, moral living begins with respect and humility before our Maker and Redeemer. The reverse is also stated in the back half, setting up the opposite sides of wisdom and folly. And this is the big theme of this book. So in a nutshell, where we're starting this morning, wisdom comes from the Lord, and foolishness comes from doing your own thing or trying to base your life elsewhere. It's pretty simple, it's pretty straightforward, but it's huge and life-changing in its application. So, Proverbs 1:7, that's our first stop. We're going to keep on going here. Proverbs 12:15 is our next one. And this one goes hand in hand with what we just read. It says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." So this is very similar to what we just read, but it kind of pushes it forward a little bit. And the thing I like about the book of Proverbs is a lot of times, you know, you'll see like in Psalms, like a lot of the musical flowery language, a lot of these comparisons stuff, but Proverbs doesn't do that. Proverbs is like, look, this is what it is. This is how it is. It doesn't pull any punches. It's straightforward. It's blunt. And if you're like me, that can be a little thick-headed and stubborn. That's what we need sometimes. Has anyone in here, and please don't raise your hand. Well, you can raise your hand. Just don't call out any names. Ever met anyone that thinks they're right all the time or that they know everything? Your laughter seems to think that you can fairly easily think of an example of this. So you'll just meet somebody that's like no matter what the circumstance or no matter the subject matter, they're right 100% of the time. Now, my wife would potentially say that this sounds a lot like me. She's over there giving me like a look like, yep. To which I would say, look, I'm not right all the time, but I am most of the time. And I'm probably going to get in trouble for that one later. Proverbs tells us that a person who thinks their way is always right is a fool. Don't be a fool. Simple, straightforward, blunt. And every time I read this, and I've read through this a bunch of times for this, I am reminded of the timeless, wise words of a Mr. Lawrence Turow. Does anybody know who that is? Nobody. That is the actual given birth name of Mr. T. You didn't even know that, did you? If you don't learn anything else, now you know Mr. T's real name. And Mr. T, what is his famous line? Pity the fool. I think every time I read this, that's what I think about. Reminds me of it every single time. This proverb tells you what a fool thinks like. Don't be a fool. Instead, be a wise man or a wise woman. We see here that a wise one is open to advice. Because sometimes God speaks wisdom into our lives through other people. It's because there's value in learning from other people's perspective. Sometimes, look, you can read something in the Bible, and y'all probably understand this. You read something like, okay, yeah, I get it, God. Like, it's written there. But until somebody else, like, breaks it down for you in a real direct way, like, sometimes it just takes somebody else telling you or somebody else telling you a bunch of times to get it. So don't be a fool. Listen to the godly, moral, upright people that God has placed in your lives. No one I know is so smart that they have all the answers all the time. And nobody you know is so smart that they have all the answers all the time. Learn to take advice. Learn to take input. Don't be a fool. Everybody with me so far? Everybody's head still up? Everybody's still awake? We're good. We still have a little ways to go in our tour through Proverbs here this morning. So we're going to keep on moving. Our next one is Proverbs 15:16-17. So we're pulling in two verses this time, but it's because they really go hand in hand. It says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than a great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened calf or fattened ox and hatred with it. More isn't always better, is the moral of this proverb here. So we see this thing played out a lot in Scripture. The first example for me that comes to mind is the prodigal son. He's like, look, he's kind of like J.G. Wentworth. I want my money and I want it now. Some of y'all remember those commercials. We were just singing this like a week ago with some of the youth group trying to remember all the commercials. The one with the guy singing in the opera with the Viking hat was the best one. You can never tell me different. So the prodigal son is, he's like, look, I want everything. I want it right now. And that's how it needs to be. You also see this a lot in Hallmark movies, especially in the fall and around Christmas. Guys, if you haven't started watching them, it's coming. It's coming like a hurricane. Like, it's unavoidable. You can't do anything about it. Because this is how it goes. Does anybody in here, like, have they watched like an inordinate amount of like Hallmark movies, especially around Christmas? There's a couple that are like, yeah, I love these. It's the way it is at our house. Like, we don't have Hallmark, we don't have cable, but my wife will order their special like subscription thing for like 2 months around like Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then she'll just get rid of it after that, which is fine. But all the Hallmark movies, they go, look, it's always like there's this good guy, he's got a heart of gold, but he gets all caught up because he moves to the big city and he loses his way and gets caught up in all the stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And then there's this girl, probably from the country, or from whatever town he came from. Y'all laughing because you know it's true. And she shows him that he doesn't need all of that if he has love, especially if he loves her. Those movies are all the same, just like the Nicholas Sparks movies, except the only twist with the Nicholas Sparks movie is somebody always dies in one of those. They're all the same. So we see this principle of having the stuff, having more is better. But that's not in actuality how it works. We can have all these wonderful things, but it doesn't mean a thing if we don't have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. A life without God has an expiration date. It may be good while it lasts, but one day it will end, and it'll end badly. A life, however, governed by respect and love of the Lord is better, and it lasts into eternity. We don't need a lot here. We seem to think we do. Like, you see these people post those things on Facebook, like, could you live in this gigantic house for a year with $1 million a week with just, like, this person? Like, of course you could, but you don't need all that stuff. Because we think, look, what do we need? We need our phones. We need our internet. We need our $17 Starbucks coffee. We need all this stuff. But if you look at other people, you look at the world around, you see, like, look, we don't really need that much. We want a lot of stuff, but we don't really need it. What we're really working toward is after this life. Keep your focus on the things that truly matter and that truly last. Put your faith and your hope in Jesus, and you will never lack what you need. You will never not be content. Next up on our tour, Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. This is one of my favorite ones. I really, really like this one. It can really, really speak to a lot of what people are going through right now, and what a lot of people are feeling. Times have been tough for a lot of people. And I touched on this a little bit a couple weeks ago when I was preaching. But the past year and change has not been the sunniest weather that we've seen in this life, has it? Over that amount of time, a lot of people have dealt with loss or depression, anxiety, worry, and fear. Some people wrestle with these things every day of their lives. And maybe that's true for some people in here. There have been some bad circumstances over the last year and some change for a lot of people. Unfortunately, we can't always prevent these bad things from happening to us, but we do have something that can help us get through it. Proverbs here tells us that a joyful heart is the key to making it through this medicine. Whatever ill, whatever woe has found you in life, it says that a joyful heart is the medicine that fixes it. If we allow our spirits to stay down and stay discouraged, the world will crush us. That's just the fact of the matter. We have to stay positive and stay focused on the hope we have in Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that all these bad things happen. Oh, you know, it's okay. Going to have a great day like yesterday. Brittany and I, we got in our car. Because Carter, he needs socks. Because he's starting kindergarten tomorrow. Your condolences for that are appreciated. We're really struggling with it. But we get in the car to go get, we're going to Target because that's where we go all the time. So we get in the car, to go to Target, and like the car has a little bit of trouble starting. And I was like, well, let me just put some gas in it because I'm not a mechanic by trade. So I put some gas in it, which I was pretty sure wasn't going to work, but I was hoping, man. I was praying all the way to the gas station that it would work and that I wouldn't run out of gas before I got there. And I get to the gas station, I put gas in it, and then I crank it, and it's struggling again. I was like, look, let me just take this back home, because I would rather this car be stranded at my house than be stranded in the Target parking lot, because there's going to be people everywhere, because college has started, and it's Saturday, and there's people everywhere. So I take it back to the house, and we get out of the car, and I let it sit for a minute, and I try to start it back up. Nothing. Now, that is significantly less bad than what a lot of people have had to go through, but I'll tell you right now, when that car did not start yesterday, I was not happy about it. I wasn't. Especially because prior to yesterday, that was like our one vehicle that had functioning air conditioning. Because our Camry, that we no longer have because we ended up going to buy a car yesterday, didn't have air conditioning. And I don't know if you know, but it's been hot outside lately. So I wasn't happy about it. I wasn't like, you know what? It's great. We're gonna just ride in nature with the windows down. But, which we did. It was hot. It was real hot yesterday. But it was okay. And my wife said, look, I was like, look, Brittany, I was upset. I said, man, the car's not working. This car, I hate this car. I don't hate the car. She said, look, we're still going to have a good day anyway. I was like, okay. Ended up being a real good day for her because now she got a new car. If we stay positive and we stay focused on the hope we have in Jesus, if we hold that in our hearts, it will help see us through. But what this also means is we also have to pick each other up so we can make it through together. Because look, sometimes you just can't do it by yourself. Sometimes stuff is just, it's too heavy. You can't carry the burdens that the life throws at you all by yourself. It's just, that's the way it is. That's why God gives us the church to help one another out. The troubles of this world are temporary, but our home and our hope founded in Christ are eternal. Things may be bad now, but it's like that worship song says, there will be an end to our troubles if we put our hope in God. This next one is one of my favorite ones. I said that like three times. I really like all of these, or they wouldn't be in this sermon. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Both as a parent and as a youth minister, this one really hits home for me. And you don't have to be either one of those things for it to mean something for you either. I could preach a whole sermon, even one as long as one of Stewart's, as on just this verse. But I promise I won't dwell on it too much. We hear all the time that what children are the future, right? Anybody ever heard that? Some probably said it at one time or another. Children are the future. They're gonna make things, like, we need to make sure that things are better for them. They're gonna make things better. And look, if that's true, the focus for us as adults, as parents, as grandparents, as whoever, is to make sure that that future is a bright one. If you don't have kids, or your kids are grown, or maybe they just think they are and they don't listen to a word you say, this still applies. Kids can never have too many role models. I had somebody a long time ago say, hey, Jane, would you mind if I helped out with the youth ministry? Like, I don't want to, like, cause an issue, because I know you, like, you do a really good job. You do stuff. And I was like, look, please. Kids can never have too many positive role models. That's just a fact. Parents, people in general, make sure you prioritize the importance of active faith in the lives of your kids. Make sure, more importantly, that you are modeling these principles in your lives. Show, not just tell, but show your kids how vital a relationship with Christ is. Let them see you active in prayer. Let them see you active in God's word. Let them see you active in the church. You do that if you want your kids to grow up to be real disciples of Jesus Christ. If you want them to grow up and one day lead your grandkids and future generations to Christ. Be the example that you want your kids or the kids in this church, whoever, to have in growing up in Jesus. And it says here in Proverbs that if you train them up in that way, they will not depart from it. We have one last stop to make in our cruise through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. This is what we're here for, folks. This is a big part of the reason that the church gathers. We're here to sharpen one another, to strengthen one another, to build each other up. Because we talked about some this morning, and I look, the world will tear you down. If you go out and you're like, look, yes, I'm gonna change the world for Jesus. And look, sometimes you're sharp, you're ready, you're pointed in the right direction. The world comes at you, it kind of dulls your edges a little bit. We come together to resharpen, to strengthen one another. And I know a lot of people over the course of this pandemic have missed that. You know, I know there are still some churches out there that aren't or aren't able to meet in person. And there are some people that for health concerns can't make it into church. But even if that's the case, that's only a barrier if you let it be. I encourage you to try to reach out however you can and be present in each other's lives. We see through the example of the early church in the book of Acts that these people, they weren't just like, okay, they showed up and they kind of were just around. Like, no, they shared in their lives. They lived life together. They did everything together. It says they had everything in common. That's what we're supposed to do. Look, it's hard sometimes to reach out, but you have to do something. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. So I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you this morning to keep in mind why we do this. It's to lift each other up through these hard times. Keep each other sharp and keep each other accountable in your daily walks with Christ. We're all in this together. We're all supposed to support one another. We're supposed to lean on one another as we shelter in the arms of our loving Father. The world throws a lot at us. And the world tries to send us all these different messages and tell us how to live our lives. But if we hold fast to the truths that are present in the Bible, like in the book of Proverbs, we're going to make it through. And we will make it through this life one day to live eternally with our Father. So I want to encourage you to let go of whatever stuff that the world gives you that you're holding on to. Just let go of that stuff. Hold on to this. Because this lasts. That stuff doesn't. We're going to transition now to a time of communion. The praise man is going to come lead us in our communion song. And I just challenge you to just, again, just focus on this moment. Focus on our Lord and Savior and what he's done for us and how he can change your life.